Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I think there's a lot of reasons why they should. I also think there's a handful of reasons why they maybe shouldn't this week. And that's kind of where I stand on it. But I'm less interested in what I have to say because I was also here yesterday talking about this. Nick, I'm asking everybody I can what their stance is on this. So we know how bad the offense has been. We know how bad Joe Flacco has been. Where do you stand on the potential decision that could be made tomorrow by Kevin Stefanski on making a quarterback change or not making a quarterback change?
I'll be honest, man. Initially, like right after that Detroit game ended, I was like, I'm split because they could bench Joe Flacco for Dylan Gabriel. And I'm not sure how different things are going to look because the offensive line is still really bad. The wide receivers still can't really catch the ball. And while Joe Flacco is a statue in the pocket and he's certainly not helping things, I also wonder, are you really setting a third round rookie up for success with how incompetent the rest of this offense has been? But the more that I think about it, the more I just wonder. And I think like watching Jackson Dart beat the LA Chargers with New York in a game where Malik Nabers went down, was lost for the season, I've almost come along to the side that's just like, if Dylan Gabriel could even give you a little bit of a smart spark, if it could even look a little bit better than what it looks like right now, then it could be time to just do it. I also don't know that this is a situation like we've lived through in Browns quarterback changes past where like, say Dylan Gabriel's worse than what Joe Flacco's been. That's a very real possibility. Like, never say it could never get worse in Cleveland when it comes to quarterbacks, because it certainly can. I do think this is a rare situation where you could go back to Joe Flacco, because he's a veteran quarterback that's been around the block. He's been there, done that. He came off the couch and led the Browns to the playoffs. So I really think that you should probably just insert Dylan Gabriel and see if he could give you anything that's a little bit better of a step in the right direction. Because at the end of the day, like the longer that this continues to go on and the longer that this offense continues to struggle, like the louder the questions are going to be about the entire direction of everything. Because it certainly looks like to me like you're wasting a defense that's Super Bowl caliber because your offense is 0-17 caliber.
I think what that last point you make is great, because I do think that's what Kevin Stefanski has to weigh. It's the locker room part of it, right? It's the what's going to convince the guys that we're trying to win now versus, you know, pivoting to a rookie could signal, hey, we're trying to evaluate these guys. You got to sort of balance that. But it's about at this point making sure the locker room understands like, hey, us moving to Dylan Gabriel isn't about that. This is about trying to maximize the fact that we have this really good defense. Because we all started this process understanding they were going to try to win out of the gate here and see if they could salvage the season and turn it into anything before they got to a point where it becomes evaluation mode on not just one young rookie quarterback, but potentially two young rookie quarterbacks. Now, I think you are at a stage now where you could start to sell that, like, because the offense has been so bad.
Right.
But I also, like, the thing that people are grasping at is just simply the fact that Kevin was asked, are you sticking with Flacco? And he avoided the question. And last week, He was undoubtedly like, yeah, Flacco's our core. Like, he said yes when he was asked about him staying with, as the starter. And I think the difference there, which is an easy one to decipher, is, well, they won that game. They lost this game in blowout fashion, similar to what they did against Baltimore. So, it's harder for him to just, like, come out and blanketly say that. Obviously, he could have, and he could have just put it to bed. But I keep going back to, like, I pulled up when I tried to find this last night, and then I got stopped, and I was trying to find it again this morning. So I was making sure I had the right one here. I pulled up the Zoom from after Baltimore. So this is from the 15th of September. And he was asked about, you know, sticking with Joe Flacco. And I don't know, you tell me, like, don't these comments sound sort of similar to what he's been saying since Sunday? We didn't play well enough on offense, and we didn't coach well enough on offense, and it's never going to be about one person. Joe Flacco knows there's plays that he can be better, and that obviously starts with protecting the ball in this game, and he understands that, and that's our focus moving forward. He also said the same thing he's been saying of, like, you know, that's not our focus right now. That's not my focus right now is the kind of the go-to line he's throwing out there. So I understand where with Stefanski, you have to really pull apart every letter of what he says and try to figure out reading in between the lines. Is he implying he's making a change? Is he not implying he's making a change? He's really hard to decipher in that way because he gives you nothing. You know that. But I don't know that, like, him being non-committal yesterday or really the last 2 days was like a telltale sign that he's definitely going to change quarterbacks, because I think he's been saying a lot of the similar things. And I honestly think, too, as we talk about, like, selling to the locker room, I think the guys in that locker room on the offensive side of the ball know that the problems are about more than Joe Flacco. And I know that, too, because Joe Bitonio talks about it. Joe has talked a ton about how he knows the offensive line isn't setting up Flacco for success, isn't even necessarily setting up the run game to be as successful. They know they have to be better in that phase, too. And so him saying, it's never about one person, we all have to be better, we're trying to get the offense better, I think that's just the truth. Like, they know that there's a lot of problems right now, that it's not just fixing one thing that's going to fix them all.
Agreed. And, like, that's what I think I want to really communicate to Browns fans that are out there, is, like, say they do it. You know, say people get their wish and they go to Dylan Gabriel this week in London, morning game against the Vikings. It's Brian Flores' defense that you're going against there. Like, I can't tell you in good faith if the you know, report drops today while we're on the air that it's Dylan Gabriel. Like, I can't sit here and sell to Browns fans that, yep, there it is, it's going to be night and day better than what you've seen, because I do agree with what Stefanski's saying. Like, their focus should be on more than just the quarterback, because the entire product has been crap so far. Like, it has been that bad. Like, they finally have a run game going with Quinshon Judkins. That's a good thing. And I think you have to take baby steps when you're as bad as the Browns are to finding normalcy and to finding, okay, what's something that we can do that could at least get a couple yards for them? At least last week, it was running Quinshon Judkins. Cool. Now you've discovered that. What else can you do? What else are you good at offensively? And you start to slowly teach yourself how to walk the ball down the field. Like, that's where the Browns are at right now. And whether it's Gabriel, whether it's Flacco, whether you put Patrick Mahomes back there, like, I just don't know. Obviously, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. Like, Patrick Mahomes would certainly help some things.
But to your point, though,
I just don't think that, like, this offensive line and this receiver room is not beneficial to a rookie third-round pick.
You threw Patrick Mahomes out there tongue-in-cheek, but, like, in the Super Bowl last year, Patrick Mahomes struggled, too, because his offensive line was in shambles and he wasn't getting a lot of protection. Like, any quarterback would struggle under those circumstances. Any quarterback would struggle under the circumstances the Browns are dealing with right now. And to be clear, and I've tried to make this clear every time I talk about this, it's not that I don't think Dylan Gabriel could give you something with the offense or change some things. You can probably do, not probably, you can absolutely do more of, like, the bootleg stuff out of the pocket, trying to get the ball downfield, do some levels concepts of in terms of routes, and throw the football downfield that way. You're not doing that with...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Flacco, he can't move, but stuff that we saw him doing, Stefanski that is, with Baker Mayfield early on in his tenure here, I think that stuff's all back on the table with Dylan Gabriel. You can move the pocket a little bit, help him avoid the problem areas you have up front in the offensive line because of that. But again, I agree with you in that. I still don't think it's going to be perfect. I still think it's going to be hard for a rookie to adapt to this league, the speed of it, a bad offensive line in front of you who's clearly, like, there's a couple guys on this offensive line right now that are turnstiles. It's just not pretty. The other thing I'll say, too, and maybe you don't care about this at all, and I actually am really interested to ask Albert Breer about this. He's going to obviously join us later in the show. I want to know how much teams do think about putting the quarterback, like a rookie quarterback, in a situation where it's a perfect situation. Because we talk about this so much. Is this the right time to start a guy? Is it not the right? What's the perfect situation? We all circle that Dolphins game and say, well, hey, after you get through these first six games, you get past the Steelers on the road, you get past all these other things. That team stinks and it's at home. This is the time you make the change. But in retrospect, there's never like a perfect time to start a rookie generally, unless it's a first-round pick that you know is supposed to be your franchise guy and you're like, we got to start him. But I'm curious to get Albert's thoughts on that, because to me, if this was a normal week where the Vikings were just coming to Cleveland, like a normal home game for Cleveland, I'd probably be more in the boat of fine, make the change, yes. But I do think that because of the extenuating circumstance of you're going to London, this player's a rookie who's already getting used to the grind of an NFL week-to-week schedule and how that kind of works. Now you're changing the whole thing up. They're going overseas. They got to practice different time zone, all those things. I just think that's a lot to thrust a rookie quarterback into. Now, they think Dylan Gabriel's really smart. He's got the supercomputer brain, so maybe it won't affect him. I don't know. But that's the one thing that gives me pause of, like, I just don't know, as we talk about perfect situation, and maybe the teams don't care about that stuff. Well, again, we'll ask Albert about it. But if that's something they're thinking about and they're prioritizing their development and putting them in the right situation to be successful, I just don't know if this week specifically makes sense, even despite how bad it's been. I also think the Browns could win this game without, you know, with Joe Flacco being as limited as he is, if I'm being honest.
Agreed. I do think that this is a winnable game, and I think that's something the Browns have to factor in, is like, okay, do you make the switch here and jeopardize potentially taking a win with your veteran quarterback? And what does that do for the timeline that they have Dylan Gabriel on? I you know, want to believe that, like, I always had the Miami Dolphins game kind of circled. Like, you're back in Cleveland. It's middle October. By that point, you've got a very comfortable sample size on Joe Flacco, where if he still doesn't have things figured out, like, that's when you hand the keys over to a rookie quarterback. But then, like, especially because the schedule softens a little bit, you got the Patriots in there, you got the Bears in there. Like, there's so many winnable games. But then the other side of my brain is like, okay, well, Jackson Dart just help the Giants beat the Chargers. And, like, that's John Harbaugh's defense. Like, Jim Harbaugh, rather. I don't think that anybody really saw that coming, but he was able to really ignite it. So I think that they have to factor in all of these things. And I do know that they really like Dylan Gabriel. They think that he's smart. So, like, if they name him the starting quarterback, like, they have full confidence that he could lead the team out in Minnesota and get a win. And I hope they're right. That's all I could really say.
The fact that you brought up the Dart Dable thing is interesting. We were talking pre-show, and Jake Murn sort of brought that up as well. And I think that's another thing we can maybe get into with Albert later in the show, maybe discuss afterwards. But I do think the situations there are what's I think, interesting, because Dable, I think, understands he's on a very hot seat and he's got to kind of save his job. I don't know if Stefanski feels that same sort of pressure, but we can talk about that a little bit later. Let's try to get a call in here before we got quick hits coming up here at 2:40. So be sure to stick around for that. But let's go to Jeffrey here in Cleveland. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, guys. You know, we appreciate Kev's passion for wanting to win. Okay. He says that Joe Flacco gives the best chance to win. We appreciate his passion for wanting to win, okay? But at what point do that passion for winning start to be a passion he has for losing? And at what point does he start betting on the horse that he trained?
You're talking about when does he start betting on the quarterback he drafted, you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and that's I appreciate the call, Jeffrey. I think you sort of were hinting at this, but the idea that if you start Gabriel and it's not any better, or if it's worse, God forbid, that's an even bigger indictment on Stefanski than Joe Flacco just being old, because this is supposed to be his guy.
And,
right?
And you could hide behind Joe Flacco being old. Like, you could say, hey, this is the veteran quarterback that we brought in. We had success with this guy, brought us to the playoffs. Like, he knows the offense. We're going to continue to ride with him. The issue becomes if you put Dylan Gabriel in the game and he looks just as bad, if not potentially worse, than Joe Flacco. I mean, Flacco's taken a lot of hits. I think he got hit. It was, what, 9 quarterback hits and 3 sacks,
I think that's
against the Lions. So he got hit 12 times in that game. Remember, Flacco's a big dude. He's 6'3", 6'4". Dylan Gabriel's my height. I'm not very tall. So, like, you start to think about these things, and it's like, man, well, then they're probably not going to go to Shador, because they've made it abundantly clear that they don't think Shador is any ready. And then the fans are going to look to Kevin and be like, hey, well, this was your guy. The last guy that you told us that was going to be really good was Dorian Thompson Robinson, and he's out the league. So, like, what are we really doing here? And I think they kind of, maybe this regime knows, like, hey, if we go to Dylan Gabriel here, we're kind of putting our cards on the table awfully early in the season. And if things don't start to turn around, they're going to be looking for us next. Because I think there's a lot of truth in that.
I honestly think this is a really fascinating topic that we can maybe circle back to at some point today. Guardians game dependent, of course, because that is going to drive our show largely based on how this game plays out. 1-1, by the way, after the top of the sixth. I think what you're getting at, though, is right now, I think Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are very much safe. But if they put Dylan Gabriel out there and he looks as bad as Joe Flacco, could that start a timer on, like, maybe these guys, we don't want them drafting the quarterback another quarterback next year or trying to fix this roster? I think that's a really fascinating question. We'll try to get back to it at some point today, but we do have to also talk about the other quarterback in this room. No, not Deshaun Watson. We can thankfully say he won't be playing this weekend. Kevin Stefanski closed the door on that pretty quickly. But Shador Sanders and somebody in the media, the national media, thinks that he should be getting his shots. At least it seemed that way. We'll talk about it coming up at 3. But up next, in about 5 minutes, we've got Quick Hits. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German, Nick Padone with you on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.